Just curious because, like everything else.
Yes.
Okay, thank you all, everybody. It is 9:38. Welcome to the Tuesday morning, August 10th meeting of the Committee on Housing Planning and Operations. That's what we are this week. We have the presence, we have a quorum in the presence of Legislator Spreckman, Legislator Myers, and Jeffrey Anderson of Westchester Residential Opportunities. We've got some minutes that maybe we'll do at the end of the meeting. Well, actually, while we have a voting quorum, maybe we should do the minutes now because I know Jeff has to leave. So why don't we take 20 seconds to look over the minutes, or why don't we vote to approve them pending any changes?
That's a good idea.
Because Barbara always does such great, thorough minutes. Can I have a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Okay. Moved by Legislator Myers, seconded by Legislator Spreckman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Minutes are passed. We will then review these a little bit later. Chairman Burton is not here today, so I am filling in his stead. If anybody was confused about whether we were going to have discussion on the newly submitted concept of the accessory apartment law, we're going to hold off on that till we can just get everybody to the table. It's a little bit short notice, and Chairman Burton's not here. He's one of the co-sponsors.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I would talk to Rose, you know, my secretary, about a combination of my senior, you know, committee with this committee on a lot of these things sort of intertwined.
Okay.
With community services and everything else. We've had them at a meeting, and we were discussing things that they had and they would like to see in the future in all new buildings. And
okay.
I had questions about old buildings where people can't get out and all
right.
that. So I think we should do this together.
Okay. That's a good idea.
That's something that's on our agenda, the livable communities.
Yes.
We've been trying to get together with them.
Right.
Okay. All right. We'll certainly pass that along to the chair. I think that's a great idea. So we will probably do that right after Labor Day, the accessory apartment law, but we will talk to him, Sir Bill, certainly about doing a joint with your committee. Hey there, how are you? Okay, so we have some guests today, Norma Drummond and Deb DeLong from Planning, to talk about neighborhood revitalization and the latest foreclosure numbers. So if you would please just identify yourselves for the tape.
Sure. Norma Drummond, Deputy Commissioner of Housing and Community Development, and
Deborah DeLong, Director of Housing in the Planning Department.
If you don't mind, I'd like to reverse them and just start with a general discussion
sure.
about foreclosures.
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
Just to kind of keep you updated with where we are.
Absolutely.
Last week we had gotten the information from the County Clerk's Office through July 31st. So we have data for you for the first 7 months of the year. There's a summary page that we gave you, I think that Barbara put in your packages. I'm just going to kind of walk through those numbers just a little bit so you have a sense. Barbara, I do have a couple extra copies if anybody can or anybody wants them. Oh, they're there? Okay. Foreclosure filings are, we had hoped last year was the peak. It may very well be that last year was the peak, but not by much, based on the track that we're on right now. Our expectation right now, through the first 7 months of the year, we have 1,544 filings, default filings, which, you know, for 7 months, at least, with 200 expected for the next couple months as well, we're probably going to be at least 2,500, if not even more than that. So, you know, again, pretty close to what the numbers were last year, maybe not quite. Might not quite reach that number, but still not good news that the default filings are as high as they are. You know, the reason we give you the numbers going back to 2005 is we believe 2005 was the last typical year in the county. So a typical year in this county would be 1,000, you know, almost 1,100 filings in a year, not 3,000. So, you know, we still think the foreclosure crisis is not over. Judgments themselves, they are down, but again, they're still on track to hit the same level that they hit last year. There were 731 foreclosure judgments through all of 2009. For the first 7 months, we have 374. So if you double, you know, almost double that 374, you're at that 731 again. So our expectation was that, as we were talking right before this meeting started, these are not the subprime mortgages anymore. These are probably, because of the high unemployment rate, these are probably more of the executives who have lost their positions, who had severance packages, and those severance packages have now probably run out, and they're depleting their savings, and they really now are, in default filings and are now starting to lose their homes. So that's why we're not, our expectation is the judgments number is still going to continue to stay high, probably for at least another year. There's some amount of assistance out there, but not really, there's more foreclosure counseling, and I hope Jeffrey and, some of the other nonprofits have a better handle of who's actually coming through your doors for the foreclosure prevention counseling, but my sense is that they're still coming in too late.
They're not only are they coming too late, like you said, these are the folks who are into spontaneous gratification. They've worked all their lives, they get everything they want when they want it, and they walk in and say, I hired an attorney, he couldn't help me, I went to HUD, and they say, you can do it, you need to do it, and do it now. So you're absolutely right, those are the people that are coming through the doors. We had one particular case yesterday where this person called HUD, called the New York State, called every possible person they could possibly call just to say, it's not moving fast enough. I need to have my home saved. And the banks are the ones that are holding up the process. Now, all the counselors do whatever they can, file all the documents, submit everything they need to, and the banks just sit on it. And that's the problem we're encountering.
You noticed the banks, I know we talked about this a little bit last time, some of the banks are getting better with this, some are still kind of in transient. Have you noticed any kind of a trend that you can report?
All the banks, as right now I'd say, fall into the same category. It's just not happening fast enough. The banks that I would say work well, we're talking a month later, you're getting a modification. Not a month, a year later, you're getting a modification.
A year?
That's not quick.
Wow.
That's not quick at all. I mean, if we were getting modification 5 months, 6 months down the road, right. You'd say that is progress. But, when modification comes through a year later, it's very, very late.
Well, I guess the question then is, if a modification is coming through a year later, could you say the silver lining is that the bank is not taking that house?
Yes, clearly that's the silver lining. The bank's not taking this house, but the family suffered. Mm-hmm. All their savings are gone. It's just disrupted their lives.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. At the end of the day, they get to keep their home. A simple example is there's this one, an attorney who went into foreclosure, called us, said, we need to work with you. A year and a half later, after several trial modifications, they get a permanent modification. A year and a half later, that's a long time. And this is not someone that just didn't know what they were doing. It's an attorney that, knew what to file, knew what to do, knew what to write in their complaint. And it's the banks. The banks are the holdup.
Wow.
So the numbers aren't good. I mean, they're not getting worse. That's the good news, but they're, speaking of the banks.
The bank walked in.
Let me tell you, Chase is the easiest to work with. Oh, by all means. Now you can come sit at the table. but if you get a chance to look at the actual listings of the foreclosure judgments and the filings, mm-hmm. very interesting to see where they are.
Okay.
Significant numbers of filings in Scarsdale and Bronxville. Okay, significant numbers. I think there's two actual foreclosure judgments in Scarsdale. Obviously the most of them are still, the balance of them, more than half of them are in Yonkers and Mount Vernon combined. So there's no question that those two communities still continue to get impacted And we do have the dates right in the front of each, the date that the either the filing was filed or the judgment was filed, so you get a sense of how many are happening each month in each community, particularly in the Yonkers and Mount Vernon. You can get a sense from that as to you know, how significantly impacted those communities continue to be. So on the flip side of this, in March of last year, the county was awarded a grant totaling $7.3 million from New York State, which ultimately was federal neighborhood stabilization money for us to be able to go out and purchase foreclosed properties, turn around, rehab them, and resell them, and make these properties, bring them back into being productive homes within the community. We got Yonkers, the City of Yonkers, cities of Mount Vernon, White Plains, and New Rochelle to agree to cooperate with us so that we submitted one application to the state. That $7.3 million is broken down to $6.68 million of actual HUD NSP funds and $640,000 of Affordable Housing Corporation, or AHC money, which is the homeownership money, which is available to be used at approximately $40,000 per unit. To help people with down payment to be able to purchase these homes. We hired a real estate consultant who has been out there dealing with realtors and dealing directly with the banks. Again, Chase has been probably the easiest bank to work with.
And who's the consultant?
Michael Martino, okay. He's a former vice president from New York State Housing Finance Agency, so he knows the folks that we're dealing with. He is a former mayor as well from one of our communities, so he knows Westchester well. Used to be mayor of Tuckahoe.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Mike has been on board. He has been dealing with the realtors and the brokers and really telling them, we want the worst of the worst. If there's investors out there who are interested in purchasing properties, let them buy them. Let them buy them and get them refurbished. But we want the burnouts. We want the properties really that nobody else wants, because those then become a real cornerstone on revitalizing that street. And stabilizing that street. So our emphasis for the first round of the funds was to purchase homes in Yonkers, Mount Vernon, and Peekskill. Barbara, if you don't mind, I do have handouts. This is a different one.
I
should just split them up half on one side and half on the other. All right. So we've actually listed for you the 12 properties that we're actually purchasing with these funds. These funds are now, the $6.68 million of NSP funds are now totally committed. We are looking to purchase a total of three properties in Peekskill, with the balance of them in Yonkers and Mount Vernon. These are not properties where the county actually gets in the chain of title. Instead, we are working through three nonprofit agencies: Community Housing Innovations, Community Capital Resources, and Suburban Green.
What's Suburban Green?
Suburban Green is the HDFC associated with the Housing Partnership. Dan Martin's Housing Partnership.
New York City.
They do a lot of AHC work. Yeah. Okay. Right. So these are the organizations that we are actually funding these organizations to acquire these properties. The closings have actually started happening. Mm-hmm. I think we have two more today or tomorrow?
Two more this week. Three are closed.
So, you know, at this point, we are truly in the process of acquiring these properties. Our rehab specialist has gone out and done workups, line item workups, so that we have a good sense of what the rehab is needing in some of these cases. In two of the cases, we actually will have to hire architects because, the properties are just so bad that the expectation is it's beyond a rehab specialist. It's actually going to be a gut rehab. We are working with the local municipalities, with their building inspectors, to make sure if there's any issues on these properties that they are aware that the agency that's now buying the property is working with the county so that, you know, we can alleviate any further filing of any fines on these properties. But again, the sense is that we're trying to pick the worst properties on some of these streets and clustering as many in specific neighborhoods, especially in Mount Vernon and Yonkers, as we can. Each of these properties, before we put any bids at them, were vetted with the planning departments of the local cities to make sure they were in agreement that these were properties they wanted us to pursue. Everybody really is on board. We did have another property. We actually had 13 North High Street and 19 North High Street, both in Mount Vernon. So again, we were trying to do multiple properties on the same street. But some of the paperwork associated with 13 North High, we actually had to back out of that one because we just couldn't get it all in line. We had an obligation that we had to spend at least 50% of our funds by July 15th. So that's why we were truly scrambling to get everything to ANC on time. And then the last couple properties, all 100% of the funds had to be committed by August 2nd. So we have met our deadlines related to the state to keep these funds. When these properties are rehabilitated, then they will be available for home ownership opportunities. We have hired Housing Action Council through this program. There's funding in this contract as well. And Housing Action Council has the sub-agencies of WRO and Human Development Services of Westchester, as where they are now counseling the families and starting to identify prospective families to purchase these homes. The homeowners who would be eligible to purchase these homes for the first time will actually be able to have incomes up to 120% of median. So that's families, really, a family of four with an income of about $125,000, $126,000. So it actually gets us that 80 to 120% for the first time, which is, you know, again, brings additional income to those neighborhoods that might not have been there before. So, some of these were investor-owned, and the investors didn't necessarily care what happened to the properties. So bringing home ownership into these neighborhoods, we feel, will be a good thing. So at this point, we're available for any questions, but that's really the highlights of the program.
Yeah, go ahead.
When the properties are completed and mm-hmm. sold to the new owners, does that money come back into the county so it can be recycled again?
It does. Okay. We actually will have the ability to recycle these funds until July of 2013. So we have another 3 years to be able to continue to recycle these funds.
Which funds specifically?
The 6.68 million.
The 6.6.
The 6.68, correct. Those funds, with the next round, the second round of our being able to use them, we can expand into Portchester, Sleepy Hollow, Elmsford, Greenberg, Ossining, New Rochelle, and White Plains. All right, there are tiers of communities that HUD has identified. They're communities with the highest risk of abandonment as far as HUD is concerned. And so the first tier was those that scored 8s and 9s and 10s on HUD scores, which is why it's Yonkers, Mount Vernon, and Peekskill. The next tier are those that are 7s and 8s. So that's why we can get into some of those other communities that on the lists that we've given you can see are truly those communities that have higher levels of foreclosure judgments and filings. So yes, we will not. We don't expect to get all that money back.
Right.
We are expecting that we will lose some funds on each property, but again, we're trying to make the homes as energy efficient as we can, and making them so that these homeowners who are buying the homes should not have to do any rehab for the first couple of years that they're living there.
Wow. Now I notice on here there's some of these properties. While it's home ownership, they're also apartments within those?
Correct.
So are we making these comply with the settlement, and will we get credit for these units?
In Yonkers, Mount Vernon,
no.
And
Peekskill.
Oh, that's right, they're not. That's right, they're not. Right, sorry
correct,
about that.
No. Right. But again, we are watching the foreclosure judgments and filings and seeing where they are.
In the eligible communities,
exactly.
Right.
And now that Mike has now finished with these properties, he's now starting to look to see what are the other opportunities.
Really?
Working with the
administration in
correct.
That regard?
Okay. Yes, I believe there's something that will be coming to the board shortly relative to foreclosures based on the implementation plan, but I'll leave that to the administration. Okay, so they're, we have been watching, where are they? That's why I can tell you, the numbers are jumping in Scarsdale and Bronxville and those communities that we might not necessarily mm-hmm. Find vacant land in, but maybe we can do, there might be other opportunities. So,
okay.
But yeah, these for NSP purposes, the communities that are really those that are most impacted are not going to be the communities that are going to be eligible.
What does NSP stand for?
Neighborhood Stabilization Programs. The one kicker with the rental units is those are limited to 50% of income, of the median income. So yeah, we are now setting, in some cases, some of these are single, two of the homes are single family homes, but in most of the other cases, we are now not only giving a person an opportunity to become a home buyer, but we're also making them become a landlord for the first time as well. But part of the home ownership counseling is landlord training as well, so that they understand what their rights and responsibilities are as a landlord as well.
Members, questions? Comments, anybody?
I think it's great.
When do you expect that these renovations will be finished and folks will be moving in?
Our rehab specialist has prepared the bid specifications for these 12 properties, and we will be posting them on the county's RFP site because we want to get as great a choice of bidders as we can and make, you know, the better variety, the better choice of numbers we're going to have. So our expectation is that the bid specs are going to start showing up there before September 1st. We do expect some of these, the construction is going to last as long as 6 months. We did factor into these properties and the carrying costs for the nonprofits that we gave them carrying costs for 9 months because we expect they have to acquire the properties, they've got to maintain them, but we expect the rehab's going to last somewhere between 4 and 6 months on each one. These are significant rehabs again, these are the worst of the worst. And then by the time of they can show them for prospective home buyers, it's going to take a couple months from there for them to be able to close on them.
So what time, I guess, what's the time frame from when we get involved with the property, with this program, to folks moving in, roughly?
We figure 9 months from right now, 9 months from August, August 1st. So March 1st?
April. Yeah, I think March is probably some of the first ones we expect to. Yeah. And again, those that need the architect, and so extra time is needed. So I think it'd be starting March through early part of the summer.
What do you know what the county RFP address is?
No. You know, if you go to the county website, type in the search engine doing business to Westchester, I think it takes you to that site. That's the only way I ever
find
it.
I think there's an easier way. I think it's like a / RFP, but I don't even know.
So. All right. I'll check.
Because there's different components to it. So, yeah.
All right. Jeff, let me ask you. I know that we had a couple, I guess it was maybe 18 months ago, we had a figure of, I think, 300 foreclosures countywide that had been prevented. And we had done that, if you remember, there was the press conference in White Plains,
right,
with the then administration and Jeff and his group. Do we have any numbers since then between your group
and the other groups?
Yeah, you know, of how many we've been able to prevent? I mean, not the filings, obviously the filings are going to happen, but
right,
how many homes that we've saved with the funding that we've helped provide?
Now, I don't have the numbers for the other groups, and I could get you a cumulative number by the end of the day today.
That would be great. And could you check with the other groups, I think?
Sure.
You know, because I think we need to see these numbers in context with, mm-hmm, you know, all right, there are a lot of filings, but we're also heading off some, and those are real lives that are impacted.
Yeah, the last time we asked, which was a couple months ago, when we collected some data, every once in a while we just ask everybody, how's it
right
going? And it was, how many people are coming to you, which was the number one thing. Are we getting people in the door? But how many of them are coming to you after 90 days late, which is really, that's the first bad sign, because when you're that late, it's, you know, and from there, how many are being actually trial modifications, and how many of them are just being given, recommended for other options?
Correct.
Including some of them are being told, you really don't have a whole lot of options, you should try to sell your home.
And the other piece too is, there are several of them that will get trial modifications, and they're paying their payments, making their payments for 6, 8, 9 months.
Right.
And then the 10th month, the banks say, sorry, it's not going to work out. So these are the folks that get very, very furious and say, well, you know, I've been making my payments, you told me this would work, and then they're told, sorry, it's not going to work. So there are a significant number of those folks.
Okay, well, while we're talking about this, then, for the record, if you wouldn't mind, take us through that process. Someone comes in 90 days late.
There's a press conference, I think, that you guys
that
are doing, right?
That I need to run to.
Yeah, right down the hall. Yeah.
Okay,
maybe
if you guys need to go, go ahead.
Maybe you want to come.
What is it?
It's about foreclosures.
I know, but we've got a committee meeting. Yeah, okay. I know. It's unfortunate that someone scheduled this one.
Very, very unfortunate, actually.
In the Rotunda.
Downstairs?
No, here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Jeff has to go. We know that. Norma, maybe you could take us through the process then of, you know, as you said, 90 days late is the first warning sign. They walk through the door. You know, trial modifications,
right.
You know.
The first thing,
just so we have it on the record.
Pretty much the first thing that happens with the counselors is they try to get an understanding of why is the person in the circumstances that they are, and really what is their ability to pay their mortgage going forward. Again, for some of them, they're now on unemployment, and the banks don't even want to talk to them if you're on unemployment. They just don't want to be dealing with that. But for those that have not lost their jobs, but that have gotten other employment, then the courts and the banks are definitely, you know, are still trying to, are seeing, recognizing that those folks are in fact making an effort. There is a, because there has been a filing with the court by the bank, there is a meeting with the judge's office. And from that, the person who's handling this matter makes a determination, or, you know, in many cases is asking, have you had any homeownership foreclosure prevention counseling? If they have not, then usually somebody from Community Housing Innovations is actually somewhere in the courtroom or very close by. So the woman who's handling this for the Judge Nicolai's office actually makes the connection there, and then we'll give them 30 days to be able to give them an opportunity to meet with a foreclosure counselor. So at least the courts are also on our side as well, and they're really starting to recognize that the foreclosure prevention, while it doesn't not always work, at least it gives that homeowner, kind of opens their eyes a little bit more in terms of what their options are. So the judge's office is giving time to the homeowners to be able to put that into place. The dilemma is that even the judge's office doesn't necessarily can't even get the banks on the phone in some circumstances. They've now reached a level of frustration with some of the banks that they're now actually starting to take some more aggressive action with the banks as well. But again, what usually happens is that the bank, if the person is stable, if they have some income to be able to pay a reduced mortgage, then the banks will usually accept some kind of trial modification. The modification is supposed to last 3 months. And the banks, and the whole stimulus package that the banks actually got a payment of approximately $1,500 a month for every modification that they agreed to and for every month that the family paid on time. So there was a financial incentive for the banks to offer these modifications. The problem was that there was no financial incentive for the banks to actually accept modifications at the tail end. So it's actually more in their interest to just accept these trial payments until they finally come to the conclusion where they've got to do something with these properties. And that's why Jeffrey's saying it's coming to now a year and a half with some of these properties. And the banks are now saying, well, you know, sorry, but they don't necessarily want to continue with the trial modification. So in some cases, you have families who have made some kind of a payment. In some cases, the banks have rejected that smaller reduced payment. They won't accept it unless it's a whole payment. In some cases, you have some where they have made payment, the banks have accepted a smaller payment. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's no circumstance where, you know, everything meets. But those that come in between that 30 and 90 days, generally what the counselors have told us is that they have a much better chance of being able to stop that foreclosures. It's when that family comes in when they're already 90 days delinquent, you know, and they've missed maybe, you know, $9,000 worth of payments if their payment was $3,000 a month, then that's where they start, you know, between the penalties and the interest on top of that, they start incurring real debt that they can't necessarily buy down because they might have used those resources somewhere else instead of making their payment, or they just didn't have them in the first place. So even in there has been advice where, you know, based on the numbers that we had gotten a couple months ago, there were quite a few where the counselors have recommended that folks should just try to sell their homes because they just truly ran over their heads. And then it becomes the issue of a short sale, where if they owe more than what the property is now valued at, then they have to start working with a bank. If they can get an interested buyer at a lower price, the bank has to agree to what's called that short sale, that difference between what's owed and what the market will bear for them to be able to sell it. What we're finding now is that the banks are now not forgiving that difference, and that even after they sold their property, the banks are still telling those, that homeowner, that former homeowner,
still owe
that they still now owe that difference. Yes, it's becoming a nationwide real issue, because a lot of the banks are now saying, well, just because we agreed to the short sale doesn't mean we didn't dispense with your debt. So now that you've got folks who have now moved into apartments, have moved into other homes, and just
thinking
now have this debt that they're not free and clear,
exactly.
Oh, my God. So, you know, one of the things that we found with the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, if there was a mandate that we had to purchase the properties at least 1% below the appraised value, we have been shocked at the difference in the appraised values of what really some of these properties. I think last time I was here, we had just identified our first foreclosure. It was the 122 Nelson Street. That property 2 years ago had been on the market for over $600,000.
No.
Yeah, I kid you not, over $600,000, okay? We're buying it at $225,000.
Oh,
it actually appraised for a little bit higher than that. It's about 250, 251, that is what it appraised at. But
it's
right?
Appraised value.
No, actually, it appraised at the 225. We're buying it at the 179. Mm-hmm. So we're actually getting it significantly low.
But it's taking $260,000 to rehab it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In this case, it's in the city's historic district, Judy. So it's one of their Victorian painted ladies, what they call.
So
we're going to restore it. We're not going to put vinyl siding on. We're going to make sure it gets painted properly. And it's four doors up from City Hall.
So the city
is very anxious for this one to come back on board.
Mm.
And they actually truly feel that they're going to have some of their city employees who are going to qualify to be able to purchase that property. So it's going to be a great opportunity for somebody when this property is finished.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was a disabled veteran who was living there before. So, how they were able to maintain the home, there's things
where
in that
we're
going
to...
We don't even know, because we purchased the property from a bank.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was REO, it was repossessed, so.
Right, he wasn't living there anymore, so.
I was just going to, when you were done, I was going to ask if I could ask a question.
You can ask
absolutely.
A question.
Absolutely.
Oh, or maybe make an announcement. I guess, Peter, you had asked before about the process of the, you know, the foreclosure or the counseling or whatever mm-hmm. have you. Chase opened up, I think, 50 plus of these walk-in home ownership centers, and the closest one is in the Bronx. And the fellow that runs the Chase Home Ownership Center in the Bronx is here. He's part of the press conference. So afterwards, or if you want to take a break now and come down, I mean, he'd be happy to walk you through the process and what we're doing in terms of Chase, and that would be mortgages that were originated by Washington Mutual, EMC, and then the Chase portfolio.
Well, if he could come down when you got your finish down there, that would be great.
Right, he's very knowledgeable, and actually I'd suggested that maybe one day we see if we could get him here, so he's here.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
All right.
You know,
right.
If we need to, we'll take a 5-10 minute recess if we need to.
Right. And, well, hopefully they'll get this thing done quickly.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Excuse me.
Thanks.
No. Thank you.
Okay, where were we? Yeah.
I just wanted to say that my daughter had bid on a house in New Rochelle for $1 million, but the guy who had renovated this really big historic house wouldn't take less than 1.3. That house is now on the market in a short sale for $600,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a gamble.
Yeah. He lost his own house, and he put too much money into it, and in fact, didn't even finish something.
Right. Wow.
$600,000. Right. So again, with the rehab that we're doing, there is significant rehab going in here, mm-hmm. but in some cases, we're replacing appliances that are iffy going forward. We really don't want these homeowners to have to worry about a whole lot of rehab. We just want to close the envelopes in a little bit better, put better insulation in, put Energy Star appliances in there just to make sure these properties will operate as energy efficiently as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Questions?
This percent, if I could, sure. Judgments to filings, I think I understand that, but that's quite depressing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, that really means that everyone who's originally, who's finally ended up on this foreclosure judgment list, then it means that roughly, at least last year, half of these actually went into full-blown foreclosure.
When you look at the total number for the year, because by month, it's really just comparing it to that month.
Right, right. Okay. I was looking at the totals.
So if you really, in 2008 was the worst year, where that was almost half of those that were being filed were actually hitting foreclosure judgments.
Okay, so it's the filings to the judgments.
And
okay.
If there's a lag between when the filings happen to yeah. actually go to a judgment, so it's like a 9 month to
oh, 18 months.
18
yeah. months. Oh, wow.
So it's really, it's kind of an interesting way to trend it, but it's the two things don't line up neatly.
Got it, because of the timing.
It shows, it looks like it does on here.
Yeah, we did have an intern try to track a couple of the judgments, of the filings to see when they became judgments, but it just became impossible for him to try to actually track a specific address to see how long did it
yeah.
actually take. So we kind of, it just wasn't a productive use of his time to prove for him to do that.
For 2008 was
wow.
Okay, I just have one last question. I know we can all go through the handout to look at filings in our individual community. If you would just, you know, take 20 seconds to take us through how people should read this.
You want to start with the foreclosure judgments?
Yeah.
All right. The judgment date is the date that the court gave as the judgment, okay? There's an index number that just really refers to the court documents. The index year, those all look to be the same.
I think the index is actually related to the filing.
It's already
so yeah. really can't
yeah,
the index
it's
through
tiny.
The filing.
It's hard to see.
So it's the clerk's office index number, and then the year that number was assigned.
So then you've got the street address, then you've got the city. Now keep in mind that sometimes it's a mailing address, so then you're going to have the zip code, but then you've got the town. So sometimes you've got, let me use an example, you go Cross River here is listed, but it's really in Lewisboro.
Right.
So for us to be able to pull together which are all the Lewisboro listings, we'd have to know all the different zip codes in Lewisboro, South Salem, et cetera, to be able to pull them all
yeah.
together. And, you know, we have done this for you in the past. We just, in doing other things right now, didn't have an opportunity to do this. So, you know, you'll recognize, like, Judy, in your area, well, I guess and Mamaroneck are pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, but I can see, I understand.
But some of the Portchester, it's the town of Rye,
mm-hmm.
so some of the Rye's actually are not Rye City, they're actually the
town of
Rye. It's because it's a Portchester or a Rye Brook listing.
Yeah.
All right, so that's, and then the plaintiff is who, that's the bank, and then the defendant is whoever the previous owner was. Okay, and it's pretty much the same. We just have the property city and the property zip code. We don't have the town listed on the filings. Again, there's less credibility on the filings just because they don't always become the judgments.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things you'll notice sometimes there are cities or towns listed as the plaintiff. That could be because it's a tax judgment. Or sometimes it's a condo association.
Right.
So it's not always a bank that you'll see there. I'm just looking through it quickly just to see if there's any that I can see that are. But it's not, it's always, just keep in mind, it's not always a bank.
I have not distributed these outside the bank.
Okay. No, that's fine. You know, I'm wondering if we could do a version of these where we deleted the
Lenore.
Or the defendant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that way other people could look at these. Could we do that?
We certainly could, but I think this is all public information. I mean, this is
I know, but okay. The discretion is
sure.
the better part of valor.
We can certainly delete that whole column.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, members, any questions? Anybody in the audience? Katie, any questions from you guys? Okay, now we had an offer to have the gentleman from Chase come in.
For us trek down there.
I don't want to trek down there because that's a press conference and we're on the committee.
Got it.
So,
should I see where they are?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave soon.
Yeah.
So if they're not, we'll give Barbara a minute.
Are you going to meet us?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So all right. If you want to stay for the other, you're welcome to. But
no.
If you want, if you want to get back, you're welcome to. We thank you very much. As always, great job. Really great
thank
job.
Thank you.
We have other work we have to
do. All right.
Do.
Thank you.
The IP had to die yesterday, so we're still trying to
pull
my desk back, my office back together.
But it went?
It did go. So.
All right, thank you. Why don't we take a 2 minute...
I wonder if you could ask Katie if we can get a copy of that?
I believe that, I know we were in the works, I saw an email early this morning about updating the committee, the Housing
okay.
and Planning Committee. So you might want to double check with Bill Burton this morning.
Okay.
So we did alert him something.
Okay. Unfortunately, Bill's not here. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, no, no. You know what? That's good to know, so I can tell George to forward the email to you. Then.
Yeah, because Bill is out. That's why I'm here today.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he just had another commitment
today.
All right, why don't we take a 2 minute hiatus in place? Let's not scatter to our offices, or we'll never get back together.
You mean just to see if he comes up?
Yeah, I'm going to run across the hall to the restroom. But, you know, if he can't do it now, we'll get him back.
Oh, man. You know, this is what brings it down to human level, the whole sadness that's gone on.
You're right.
Look at those numbers.
Judy, on here, this page, the last page where it has Yankees.
Yeah.
If you began.
This is on judgments or filings?
This is what we're looking at. This one is on judgments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says 257. I can't see it in my eyes.
Where? Which one?
257 DeVoe Avenue, Yonkers. Okay. They were friends of mine. My oldest is one of the essentials on my baseball team. And
oh, I see.
Oh, she has Alzheimer's and he doesn't.
Oh,
no. What does that mean?
Further up north.
I mean, we could
you're going to end up putting
her
probably in a nursing home.
I don't. I think maybe the goal of looking for something that's an attraction. That's what I had originally
before.
I mean, like,
great,
yeah.
Barbara Greenberg.
I'm bombing out. There's, I mean, you do get a feeling about the lack of trying to be too associated.
And they have not.
Mm.
You know, even for people who I mean, we could definitely use my house. Yeah. I don't know how many people are thinking we'd get anyway.
Okay, apparently they had been waiting because Ken wasn't there, so that's right.
All right, so why don't we...
We'll ask him to come back another time.
Yeah, we'll ask him to come back another time.
Yeah.
Why don't you hold on to that? So is there any other business?
Oh, we need to approve them. Oh, we did approve
them.
We
did approve the minutes.
Yeah.
I would just ask everybody to look
take
them
look
over.
Out.
If you have any corrections or comments, you can get them to Barbara.
And thank you for putting all this
yeah,
together.
Thank you, and thank you for the articles and everything. Thank you. Great job. Good job on the minutes. So do we have a motion to
adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks.
Judy and I.
Yeah, me and Bernice. It's sad when you see a name. I see a name in there I recognize.
Yeah.
Although
they moved
overseas a long time ago.
Yeah. No, he died. He just died. They don't have money.